We appreciate you and your ministry here among us. I saw that new bulletin. I thought, that's my kind of bulletin, a bulletin for dummies. Everything you need to know right up front, easy to read. I like that new layout. Speaking of new things, we have a new church administrator working with us now and kids church coordinator, Stephanie Senmungma. Did I say that pretty good? Senmungma. And Pastor Ray and Cindy's daughter, wonderful young lady. If you haven't met her yet, you will soon. A very capable young lady. Over the last couple years, the most often question I've fielded is, have you seen Andrea? Well, now the new question is going to be, have you seen Stephanie? She's going to be taking care of a lot of the details around here for us. We really appreciate the good job that Andrea has done and all that she set up for off into the future. And now Stephanie's going to take the baton and run with it from there. We'll want to be as courteous and helpful to her as we possibly can for a longevity. Very gifted, skilled, lovely young lady. Just has a great bubbly personality. As one of the references had mentioned, always smiling. I don't know if always is completely accurate, but let's try to keep that smile on her face as she works with us here at the church. We're in Matthew chapter 16 this morning, verses 24 and 25. When I was 11 years old, I went to work. My Uncle Bob hired me. My dad would drop me off on his way to work during the summers, and I would stay with Uncle Bob throughout the day until Dad was on his way home in the afternoon. I wasn't quite legal age just yet. I made 50 cents an hour when minimum wage was $1.60. It was a few years ago. But that was all right because I wasn't of legal age to be doing everything that he was having me do anyway. I would mow the grass, trim the hedges, help him remodel his house, painted a basement, reset bricks in a walkway, went with Bob to deliver or repair appliances. Eventually, Bob became the manager of a mini bike track, and my brother and I were hired on to do maintenance on the bikes as well as take care of the customers. That was quite a wild. Some guys would come home on their way home from work. They would stop and tear around on the mini bike track. It was amazing to see 40-year-old grown men on these mini bikes, and they were much wilder than the teenagers or the kids who came by. But when you worked for Uncle Bob, you entered his world. Life was different there. Bob had his own set of rules and ways of doing just about everything. It was kind of rough on me living in Bob's world until I caught on to his rules. And once I learned the way things were done in his world, once I learned that he liked to be treated like a king, well, we got along great. You see, kings are different from regular people. They can be delightful, generous, bubbly, wonderful people, but they reserve the right to be harsh, uncompromising, and without a need to explain their demands. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's our Savior, healer, provider, and so much more. But never forget that He is first and foremost the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Father, we're here to lose our lives. We're here to follow you. There may have been different reasons why we got started on this journey, but somewhere along the way, the truth came through that this wasn't all about us, but all about you. That's a hard concept for our flesh. Help us with it. Be gentle. Be tough. Be you. And help us, Lord, to be who we were created to be. in light of all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In context, Peter has just identified Jesus as the Messiah, the King that Israel had been looking forward to for so long. Jesus will at some point gather his disciples together and call them friends. You are my buddies, my goombas. But right here is where he sets the tone for the relationship ever. If you want to come after me, you have to first deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. They would eat with Jesus. They would joke with him, share many memorable experiences. But this understanding would never change. He is Lord. He's with them, but yet he's apart, other, over, glorious. If you want to be a Jesus follower, it's not going to be about you getting what you want 24/7. If you want to be a Jesus follower, it's going to be about what Jesus wants. That makes sense, right? We're going to follow Jesus. So many of us get that backwards. I want Jesus to follow me. I want him to follow me to work. I want him to follow me in everything I do. I want him to help me to win. I want him to help me to get a raise. I want him to help me do this and to help me to do that. But it's about following him. He may very well be our best friend, counselor, doctor, but above all, he is Lord. When we treat Jesus as the King he is, he opens up his favor toward us. When we just tag along and hoping to catch some of the blessings from the kingdom, I want this and I want that, and how's come I don't have what she has or what he has? Things get a little bit tense. Kings trust you with their stuff as long as you use it for their purposes. Do you have a company van or a company car? Cell phone, whatever? What's it supposed to be used for? I worked for my Uncle Bob throughout my teenage years, and I often drove his truck, used his tools, but they always had to be for his purposes. If he caught me taking his truck on a joyride, smoking the tires, there would have been a good bit of trouble. And I love that old truck. It was a 69 Chevy C10, 305 V8. It was, they called it tomato red. It kind of looked orange to me, but that's what we called it, tomato red. West Coast mirrors. It was an honor and a joy to drive Bob's truck. And I could do so freely as long as I drove it, doing work for Bob's kingdom. As I follow Jesus, his joy becomes my joy. His peace becomes my peace. His love becomes my love. Far too many people want the love, the joy, the peace, and all the other accrements that come along with Christ while they're building their own kingdom. Lord, help me. Help me do this. Help me do that. That's just not how it works. Get with the program. Serve the King and enjoy his stuff. Joyride on your own dime. Find your own life. This is the one that he has given to you. If you want to follow Jesus, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and fall in. If makes it conditional. You don't have to. Hey, if you want to, you need to want to follow Jesus. We've had a lot of people we tried to drag along in the kingdom. Aye, they get awful heavy. They don't want to come. They don't want to come. They don't like the conditions. They don't like the conditions. You can't make concessions. It's not your kingdom. It's his. If you want to, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. You're either in or you're not. Sign the agreement or look for something better. Many people reject Christ's offer not because they don't understand the conditions, but because they understand them all too clearly. They don't like the deal. Deny myself? Cross? Are you kidding me? They don't want a king. They don't want a master. Lord, they've already got one. They got plenty of folk telling them what to do. And Jesus prefers an honest reply to lukewarm, wishy-washy religious obligations. Look, just put it straight. Will you follow him or not? He gave his disciples an out. You want to leave too? You want to go? I'm not holding you here. This is not an obligation. You can jump ship anytime. However, keep in mind that this is the only ship to glory. Every other vessel is doomed. You see, once I got my attitude right about Uncle Bob, I learned an awful lot from that man. I got steady pay increases. I came to love him like a second dad. At first, he required more than I could give. But later, I gave him more than he asked for. Once you understand the kingdom of God, I can understand, you stand there and you look at the cross and you say, I don't think I can. I don't think I can do this. Once you understand the kingdom of God, once you felt the love of God, once you hear his word and his promises, once you know the kind of Lord he is, the kind of king, the kind of kingdom he rules over, you'll want to give him even more than he asks for. Once again, our text. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Before you make up your mind completely to reject becoming a disciple, consider again here verse 25. Trying to live for yourself will always end in failure. Living for Jesus will result in a full, joyful life. Now, it sounds ironic, I know. It doesn't make any sense. If I give up what I want, I'll find joy and peace. If I keep insisting on what I want, it'll end in frustration and misery. It all boils down to, who do you trust more? What do you trust more? What God has said, or what you think and what you feel? Give up pursuit of your own happiness and become a truly happy person. Keep pursuing your own desires and wreck your ship. Ironic, but true. Yes, and if we're honest, most of us have augmented the old hymn, "I Surrender All." We're really singing a different version on the inside while our lips are saying something else. We like singing, "I surrender some. Some to Jesus I surrender some. And because he's been so good to me, I'm ready to give some more." We'll just incrementally do this thing. We have a baptismal service following the second service. We won't be just dipping toes in. Who's ready for toes? We have any ankle deepers here today? You're ready to go ankle deep with Jesus. How about up to your waist? Woohoo, we're getting serious now. That's not how we baptize, is it? No. I'm ready to die to self. I'm ready to live for Christ. In order to fill the pews, we often offer a gospel that's filled with loopholes and compromise, supervised by SpongeBob SquarePants in the sky. Yeah. Whatever suits you, that's good with us. And that's great with God. It's not what the Word says. You remember the chorus hymn we would sing from time to time? Maybe you can help me with it when it comes to "Our God is an awesome God." When He rolls up His sleeves, He ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There's thunder in His footsteps and lightning in His fists. Our God is an awesome God. And the Lord wasn't joking when He kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that He shed His blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Your priorities must change as you make room for God to rule in your life. And it's not a one-time deal, is it? It's a continuing process. You can tell what rules your life by where you give your treasures, how you're spending your time, your talent, your money. What would you say is at the top of your priority list right now? What really occupies your mind? Has there been anything battling for your attention while you've been trying to pay attention to this sermon this morning? It just keeps pushing in. It just keeps nagging. It just keeps coming up. Is there anything that is dominating your life other than Christ? What needs to change in your life in order to install Jesus as King? What has to be removed from the throne of your heart in order for Him to rule there? Repentance is how we move from self-rule to God-rule. Okay, God, I surrender. Okay, Lord, You're right. Yes, that's too big a thing. Will You help me with that? I can't rearrange the furniture myself. I need You, Lord, to help me in this. Repentance is an ongoing attitude for any child of God, because none of us is perfect. There's always something to work on in our spirit, our relationships, our career. Always something rising up trying to take God's place. That's where this take up your cross daily. There's always something that needs to be crucified. When I was a kid, we had a burn pit out back on our property. There was us and one neighbor and miles of woods around us. And sometimes it would be our duty. When we took out the trash, we really took out the trash. You had to go at the end of the property. You struck a match. You watched it burn and so on. There was always something that needed to be taken out. You find that true in your life? Seems to always be something you need to cope with, to deal with. Always something needs crucified. It may be our pride has risen up again, or we've been infatuated with something we simply cannot have, or we lose something so very dear to us and it just is aching at us. There's always something to bring to the cross. Nevertheless, not my will, Your will be done. Still we can know You are good. Lord, it hurts right now. Father, it's dark. How long will this misery last? Still I can know You are good. We start on our knees because He is Lord God, King of kings, and Lord of lords. Then we choose to stay on our knees because He is good and His ways are best. We quiet our spirit through the storm. We live and we die to see Him glorified. All hail King Jesus. Amen. All hail King Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning?